New England is facing a demographic challenge. Its residents are getting too old to work. States are desperate for young workers who can fill jobs, attract businesses, and pay taxes. One solution that not many people are talking about is immigration. This week, we explore the shifting identity of our aging region in the New England News Collaborative series, Facing Change. Emily Corwin has the first report.
It's hard to avoid the hand-wringing about aging demographics in New England these days. Our states have the lowest birth rates in the country. The northern states have the oldest populations in the country. Southern New England is up there, too. That leaves businesses and people like Jim Roche, who heads up New Hampshire's Chamber of Commerce, with this question.
Will we have the workforce necessary to power our businesses throughout the state?
From Bangor to Bennington to Bridgeport, fewer kids are being born and raised here. You can see that for yourself stepping inside any number of elementary schools. Becky Rule is principal of Kensington, New Hampshire's elementary school.
So when I started 3 years ago, there were 2 third-grade teachers, 2 fourth-grade teachers, 2 fifth-grade teachers. And over the last few years, we've lost a third-grade teacher, lost a fourth-grade teacher, and last year we lost a fifth-grade teacher.
Kensington's elementary school has a dedicated room just for therapy, another for STEM projects, yet another for hands-on learning. This place has so much space. A decade ago, Rule says, more than twice as many students came here. So, declining birth rates. It's a trend that keeps Dana Connors up at night. Connors heads up the Maine Chamber of Commerce. He says when his team looked at the numbers,
you found a very strong case to be made to attract the immigrant worker.
As is the case across New England, Maine's business community is lobbying for programs to help people who are already in Maine find good jobs in Maine. But that won't be enough to stem the shortage posed by declining birth rates. Recently, Connors and the Maine Chamber of Commerce released a report recommending policies to attract more immigrants to Maine. The report suggests expanding the New Mainers Resource Center that already exists in Portland.
Strengthen it by having others in, let's say, Lewis and Auburn. English, as we recognize, is a barrier, trying to help in that respect. Transportation can be an issue.
Maine's Governor Paul LePage, in the meantime, is famous for his anti-immigrant rhetoric. But that hasn't stopped state lawmakers from submitting bills to fund these programs. And at the local level, Portland and Bangor's city councils are both working to establish centers for job preparation, too. These efforts get a big thumbs up from Sigco. That's a glass and metal fabricating company in Westbrook, Maine. Cindy Capeless manages Sigco's human resource department. She says historically, this time of year, there were more workers than jobs. Not anymore.
It's December in Maine, and many people are still looking for help.
Not Sigco. About a third of Sigco's workers are immigrants, many refugees. Thanks to them, Capeless says her company has enough staff. Next door in New Hampshire, Amadou Hamadi says New Hampshire businesses stand to benefit from immigrants, too. He heads up Manchester, New Hampshire's refugee resettlement program.
Every refugee that comes here, they want to work, and they want to contribute to this economy, to this society.
New Hampshire has the lowest unemployment rate in the nation, so companies struggle to find employees. Yet there's little talk of immigration. Hamadi says businesses should celebrate the role immigrants play in New Hampshire's economy.
The city officials elected need also to celebrate that because we're keeping these industries going. So, but sometimes we don't see a lot of that being said.
Research shows immigrants are economic drivers, not just for businesses, but also for state and local budgets. Kim Rubin is an economist who worked on a report published by the National Academies Press. She says first-generation immigrants are a net cost to states and towns. That's mostly due to education costs for larger families. But, she says, that education more than pays for itself once the kids grow up.
Second-generation individuals are both paying more taxes and using less services than both the first and the third.
Back at the Maine Chamber of Commerce, Dana Connors says he knows there's a lot of confusion and concern around immigration policy. But he says immigrants offer a lot of value, both economically and socially. So he says it pays to keep a clear head. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Emily Corwin.